get a good feeling, yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo, the post-WrestleMania edition of We Talk Wrestling. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm still grooving to that song, man. Still grooving to the song.
Still grooving?
Oh, and Mo.
And Mo.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, he's and Mo.
I'm and Mo.
And Mo. Oh. Were you with Lando Calrissian
and
in
Mo?
Return of the Jedi?
I think so.
I think so.
And we got a special guest.
You're like
here.
Alderman John Marr.
We got a special guest here. As we often do after pay per views.
After pay per views,
yeah. Here he is. Say something, asswipe.
Asswipe.
We got
the man we call B.
The man we call B. He does this. He does that. But B is here. B watched WrestleMania with us. We just finished watching WrestleMania.
What did we finish doing?
Watching. Backlash. No, WrestleMania is in the books.
Joey Styles didn't call it. It could have been Backlash.
It very well, but JR did call a little bit.
Just one match.
Each match was a bookmark.
That's true. Each match was a bookmark.
You know why Joey Styles wasn't there? Because JBL was.
Could have had some stoppage.
Yes.
What the fuck did he just say?
I had some stoppage.
Oh, what happened? Anal stoppage?
Was your mom there?
All right, let's move on to actual
Talk Wrestling. I mean, let's talk about We Talk Wrestling. WrestleMania in there, there's a lot of questions coming out. The first question I have for you, it was WrestleMania weekend. Has Heath Slater raped a woman yet?
Not that we've heard of yet, but Black Jeff was there.
Black Jeff was there, and he is...
You mean Black Jeff Mulligan?
No. Black Jeff Mulligan is recovering from some sort of surgery, Barry Windham.
Oh, but Black Jeff, though, lived in Miami.
Black Jeff,
in Las Vegas?
Yes, Black Jeff was, what I assume he was
Taylor.
There.
Yeah.
I think we saw him. And
A couple times.
And, well, the thing is with Heath Slater, is that he is the one-man Southern rock band.
That's true.
So I assume that him and Black Jeff have met up.
I understand he's going to be a judge in his next, the hanging judge.
A hanging judge, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That'll be his next gimmick.
I guess so.
That, you know, and you know who he's going to go after first? Florida. But we'll get there, folks.
We will get there. Let's start the show. Well, you weren't quite here yet. B and I watched the YouTube pre-show where the...
I was getting beer.
You were getting a beer.
Still got some. Prepared.
We got some. We're going to have some. We're going to do some.
Thank you, Austin.
Yes, thank you, Austin.
What the hell?
Steve Austin, he assumes, because of beer.
Steve Austin.
Yeah,
What?
One beer?
What?
This show's a train wreck.
It's a train wreck, like this, almost like WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
We watched the pre-show and that the Epico and Primo successfully defend their tag titles against... Tyson Kidd and...
Who are no longer following because of you.
Yes, yes. Well, no, actually, you know what? I forgot to actually... We aren't following him anymore, and I actually... Before you said that, I'm sorry. I forgot that. We'll kind of redo this because B is here, and I forgot to... I was going to do the show over again because I kind of screwed it up to begin with. Is that... So I'm just going to... If you let me...
Okay.
I'm just going
to... Can't wait to hear what this is going to be.
Hey, yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mark. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, he's a Mark.
You're a Mark. Tyson Kidd.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll
Tyson Kidd
we'll
and Justin Gabriel.
Mark.
Tyson Kidd, Justin Gabriel, and the Usos anyway.
Tyson Kidd versus Justin Gabriel, did they have a face turn, one of them, or a heel turn, or did it not matter?
I never even looked in their face. I have no idea. The fact is that the Epico and Primo with Rosa Mendez successfully defend on YouTube.
Did they have more or less of a role in this match than Curt Hawkins in this Mania?
In Mania, they had more of a role.
Yeah, okay.
They did, yeah.
Because they weren't on actual Mania. Curt Hawkins was.
Yes, and so was Tyler Rex, to which you proclaimed.
Oh, I thought that was Trent.
Who
Beretta.
Are those people?
I thought that was Trent Beretta.
No, that was Tyler Rex.
Oh, okay.
No!
Okay, let's go.
All right, so let's
watch this, and it happened, and we move on to the
show. And we move on to the show, yes. And then the opening contest, scheduled for one fall was for the World Heavyweight Championship, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus.
Five seconds.
How long did it go be?
5 seconds.
Including the five count.
Yeah, it could. A man who demands the five King Kong Bundy, I remember saying to you, would be extreme. Yeah. Sheamus wins a la Bob Backlund losing to Diesel.
Yeah.
In record time. That was the first thing that I thought of when it happened. And not just because of the red tights of Daniel Bryan and the side, but I mean, everything kind of come together.
Well, basically what happens is they both come to the ring.
Uh-huh.
Bryan comes to the ring second. The match is just about to start. I think the bell rings. He gets AJ up on the apron. Now what you have is at the ringside, you have all the fans.
75 yes signs.
Yeah, all the fans are up, like everybody's chanting, yes, yes, yes. All the signs, they're totally into Bryan. Everybody at the ringside, anyway.
I was going to say, the hardcores that will pay the money are into Bryan. Yes,
they're into Bryan,
sense.
Yeah. So he calls AJ up, he gives her a kiss, the crowd boos, he turns around, bro kick, 1, 2, 3, new world heavyweight champion.
Yes. And I
thought it was great.
Well, yeah, I mean, you thought it was great. I thought it was interesting. What do you think, B?
I'll let you see a match.
Well, and that's kind of where I was, actually, is that I was kind of looking forward to a match. And then
more of a match than we got between them at last year's WrestleMania.
Well, that's true, and that's what we were talking about, is you know, maybe next year they hope to wrestle 5 minutes each in WrestleMania now. But, no, I mean, the reality of it, though, is that...
Look at all the
Well, and there's that, and then, but in hindsight, to see the WrestleMania that we saw, and one of the matches I was kind of looking forward to a little bit. I didn't think it was going to.
I thought it would be the best match on the show.
Well, yeah, and
it was pretty close.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to be given, you know, like 60 minutes, woo, every night. But I thought that at least, you know, they'd be given some time, you know, like 10, 15, you know, 15, 10, 10 is a short match there. And so 15, but not to go not even 15 seconds. And then I remember looking to you going, like, there's only 8 matches on this card. And they've just done one of them.
And
now.
Then, yeah, they went like 3 hours and 54 minutes or whatever.
I was going
right
to say, yeah, and it pushed right to the
right
bitter end.
I said to you, I think this is like, I think the Honky Tonk Man.
Yes.
He holds the belt, holds on to it for a long time, keeps everybody faces, is going to win the belt from him. He keeps on holding on to the belt. He never quite loses it, kind of flukes his way through victory, hold on to the belt, turn around, and when he actually loses it to the Ultimate Warrior, Sheamus in this case, he loses in seconds, match is over, new champion. The heel gets his comeuppance that he has deserved for so long.
I agree with you to a certain extent with that, and I understand that's the thing. I mean, when you talk Honky Tonk Man, I mean, what is 452 days with the Intercontinental title? And I mean, maybe Daniel Bryan, since when did he get it to December? That seems like 452 days.
Yeah, in the current WWE,
right.
That feels about the same.
Yes, it does. And so I kind of understand that this didn't... To be honest, I was
surprised me.
I was shocked.
Something I didn't expect. I liked it.
I said I don't mind it. I can't say that I liked it, but I don't... mind it. Again, it becomes where...
And you know these guys are going to face each other next month anyways.
So then I don't like it.
Why?
You know what I mean? Like, I just... Well, I don't want to say I don't like it. It depends on the story that they do. Diesel and Bob Backlund, it's not that I didn't like it.
Good for business.
Well, that's very true.
Now, neither one of them was good for business at that point, but yeah.
Well, and then that's the thing, but is Sheamus better? I don't know. And it just... I didn't mind it because it did come out of nowhere, and I wasn't expecting it. How they kind of follow it up is really going to determine to me whether I like it. I'm on the fence with it. I'm kind of. If you want to do the long live audio wrestling, I'm thumbs leaning slightly up.
But we don't want to do that.
No, we don't. No. Do we want to go with like what is it? There's a five. Is it a Cena sucks? Is it a
Yeah, that didn't work.
No, that didn't work.
That didn't work.
Shockingly.
Yeah.
No. I'm an asshole.
Yes, you are.
Let's go to the next match.
Okay, what was it?
Speaking of assholes.
Yeah. What
Ken
was it?
Kennedy. No. Was it Orton and...
Oh, yeah, this sucked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that the next match?
Yes, it sucked.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it sucked.
Yeah.
So,
it was like a punch, it should have been over in 3 minutes.
Yeah,
but it took 45 minutes finish the match.
And that never even got warmed up.
Was Greg Valentine in it?
It takes him 45 minutes to warm up.
It does.
It does.
It really
Thank
does.
You, man we call B. It's a man called B.
He does this.
Man called B.
He does that. He's not quick as a cat, though. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Worst theme song ever.
So that, well, speaking of the worst theme song ever, one of the worst WrestleMania matches ever. Randy Orton and Kane wins.
That is the shock. No, number one. Well, I thought this match was awful because neither one of them had any energy. There wasn't a whole lot of psychology. It was a slow plotting match between a guy who's supposedly athletic and a guy
hard,
who's not.
Though, right?
But it was
No, but it's hard for them because I mean, when you talk about Kane and he's got those singlet deals and Randy Orton, right? It's hard for either one of them to have high energy.
Yeah, that's right.
High energy.
It's not Coco Beware and Owen.
Yeah.
No. It's terrible match. Very, very slow. But that said, one of the things is that I will say is that the near falls that they had towards the end, like the RKO spot that they set up, the choke slam spot that Kane did, and all this stuff originally, the crowd was into it. The crowd was popping for that. The crowd was into it because, A, it was two stars early in the show, so they aren't burned out yet.
And they wanted it just to be over.
Yeah, and they wanted
yes.
it to be. No, but I do think the crowd was enjoying the match live more than I was at home. I thought it was pretty terrible, but for the live crowd, they seemed to enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, the fact that Orton got chokeslammed off the second rope and
yes.
pinned clean by Kane, Orton, the second most protected guy in the company, and both of those guys did not have a great night. We'll get there a little bit later.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's a very interesting because, of course, you know what this means. This
War.
Feud is over, hopefully.
Well, that's what I told you when Kane does it.
I was
this
like, yes,
feud
it's over.
Must continue.
No, fuck no. Please, no. The build has been terrible. The promo's terrible. The match was terrible. Please, no.
You know what? But the babyface can do something in that Extreme Rules environment, right?
Yeah.
What they're probably going to do is what they're going to do with Triple H and Undertaker. Kind of have a end of an era match or end of a match like, so they can end that feud.
Well, I'll tell you what. It felt like an era, this match, even though it only went 8 minutes.
Yeah.
It felt like an entire era. And tell you the truth, if they have another match at Extreme Rules, I'm going to end my era. This is, I don't want to see this.
All right. So we're hoping all for another Randy Orton game match.
All, yeah! All of a sudden you got into it. So after that, what did we go to?
I don't remember you. No, we went to Santino Marella.
Backstage.
Right, with Captain Keith.
Oh,
the Deadliest Catch. Remember the guy, the Deadliest Catch.
And Mick Foley.
And
Mick Foley saying he's on a diet.
Basically, it was a plug for the Deadliest Catch
season premiere
on the Discovery Channel, April 10th, Blair's birthday, the man they call B's birthday, April 10th. And
now I don't have to get
you what?
Which I won't be watching.
No, you won't be watching. No.
But the fact that that's on your birthday means now I don't have to buy you a gift.
But the big thing is that no, and I didn't buy you a gift. That's okay, right? The look on his face. Shit, if we had a webcam. But the deal is though is that of course they're doing their whole thing and it's really retarded and stupid and Shane Douglas I think was there. But
yeah.
then all of a sudden Ron Simmons,
damn,
yes, shows up and does his thing and he goes damn and Santino flips the plate of crab or whatever was on the plate when he says damn and just the way Santino that was funny. Okay,
that's funny.
The end
was funny. Unfortunately, if you have 5 seconds of funny after 2 minutes of horrible, not worth it.
They should have the slick.
They should have had
the
slick.
Doctor style.
He was when was the last WrestleMania? He was at the WrestleMania where Shawn Michaels took on Cena
in Chicago.
Yeah, he was
or
there.
No, in Detroit, 23.
23. Yeah, he was there. That's the last time we saw him. But I will say this. I met this lady and I told her quite a story. I said, I love her forevermore. The trouble is I tell the same old story to every girl who walks through the door.
This is the slickster coming at you, honey.
Anyways. Thanks, B.
Okay, so anyway, we do that, and then what's the next matchup?
We had Maria Menounos.
Did Beth Phoenix and Eve come down to the ring?
Just let me fart for a minute.
Okay.
Just let me fart for a minute.
Okay.
You fart.
I can't fart now.
Okay.
Okay, that's
too much pressure.
Too much. That's too bad.
Y'all where?
down there.
Okay.
That is too damn bad. Yeah. Let me tell you, if you could fart, that's absolutely great. For the listeners, I tell you what, if you want to fart, feel free, get the fuck out of the room and do it.
The WrestleMania recap.
We're not
show.
Ever stopping a show for
all. So
every single episode. Every single episode so far, Addy has just farted and kept it going.
This is it.
We don't pause for that.
Yeah, we don't pause. We just keep farting.
You know why?
There ain't no popping and just no stopping. That's what it happens. You know what?
Well, I think Marina Menounos.
You know what we did? We farted 60 minutes every night.
Woo!
So anyway, it's Beth Phoenix and Eve Flora has come
it
out.
Sold out for your party.
It's sold out.
It was 60 minutes of a fart.
I ask you a question.
Okay.
Who has slept with Eve?
I have.
Okay.
And Adam.
So it's basically everyone.
Everyone, yes. Thank you.
Well, no, it's not Kelly Kelly. It's everyone but you.
No, but if I slept is what he's saying. He's calling me a slut is what he's doing.
Oh, he called you a slut.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny, funny.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah.
But they did a Divas bullshit video, remember? Before?
Yes, that's right.
That
they're,
was all
they're beautiful and strong.
And
they're,
Cena
yeah.
was on there.
Yes. Cena was on there, yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, then Maria Menounos and Kelly Kelly fought Eve and Beth, and Maria Menounos pinned Beth Phoenix.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they also showed us the recap video from, what was it, Extra? Is that the show that they're on? The great build to this.
Yeah.
This was, you know what, and Maria Menounos, maybe the best worker in the match. I mean, this was awful. I mean, I'll say this about Maria Menounos.
Menounos?
I'd fuck her.
You would.
I would.
You would. I so cracked her rib. But anyway.
You cracked her rib?
Yeah.
I cracked her other one.
Yeah. Down where?
Down there.
Down there. But.
He just farted. See, that's what we do.
See, that's
keep
what
going.
We do.
And now
like
they have get the fuck out of the room next time.
Like the Lex Express.
Oh,
big fart
Jesus
where you keep
Christ.
On going. Okay. Now. Okay, so what?
We're 30-year-old men.
That's on an aircraft carrier.
It is.
We're all in our 30s.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, after the Maria Menounos match, what happened?
Maria pinned Beth.
No, I know, but after the match, what was the next match is what I'm asking. Fuck.
Hell in a Cell?
Was the Heck in the Sec the next one?
I think so.
Okay, well, then let's talk about Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
Did you realize, though, that, and I don't know, because it didn't
no,
bring...
No, we forgot about the Cody thing.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
Cody was before Maria Menounos.
I think he was, actually.
Cody
yes.
defended
so
the
we
title
have a
in
new
big show. Intercontinental Championship.
We did, actually, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Cody Rhodes defended. It was an okay match.
I think I was barbecuing during that, and that's why...
It was okay. It was all right. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad.
Lucky
him. No, it was okay. It was okay. It was 2 stars, so it's best match so far.
Okay, yeah. What did you think of the match, Sherby?
I thought the Giant was in his G.I. Joe clothes.
It's true. He was like Roadblock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could stop anything.
Or Gun-Ho. But, yeah. So
that was in the next match.
Gun-Ho? Yeah. Kelly Kelly was in the next match. Good point.
All right.
Did you see Kelly Kelly's new shirt? It said, Rise Above the Late.
It did?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you know what that meant? I couldn't understand.
I don't remember.
It's just like John Cena's Take a Wish Foundation t-shirt that I just saw.
Yeah, I think the difference is that everybody's hoping she's not late.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And John Cena actually has Down syndrome, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why she was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's also Undertaker, apparently.
Did they,
Down syndrome.
Did they shave the heads of the Down syndrome?
anyway.
Do they?
For cancer.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cancer, Down syndrome,
research,
same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's basically the same thing, right?
Yeah. Good point. Good point, B. The man called B.
He does this.
Man
he
called
does that.
B. All right.
Anyway, all I know is after the Maria Menounos match,
all I know is the
all I heard then was...
Oh, that's right. So we thought it was going to be Roddy.
And good old JR comes down.
Yeah.
Fucking finally to save this goddamn show. Jim Ross comes down to actually put some fucking commentary in place.
Yeah.
And I will
he's
say
good
that...
He's good enough to call that match, just
yes,
nothing else.
Nothing else. But I will say...
But with, I want to say this about Cody Rhodes and Big Show. Cody,
why?
Big Show was crying at the end, trying to sell like this was his WrestleMania moment.
I've got a question. Did you put some Jim Ross barbecue sauce on those hamburgers?
Yeah, sauce it.
Okay.
Chipotle ketchup there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, he didn't. But anyways, he was out. He told me. He still has the bottle, but nothing else.
Oh,
it's in the fridge, actually, still. But I don't know how much is in there, but I don't want to waste it on you.
Are you really a souvenir?
Yeah, it's signed by Jim Ross, actually, my barbecue sauce.
All right.
Well, anyway, continue.
So, yeah, I was just saying, Show actually cried. Like he's getting all emotional.
Like it was the Divas title.
Like, yeah, exactly. I was like, what? Come on.
Hey, you know what? Good for him, though, for putting it over. I mean, I know it sounds stupid and it looks stupid, given what's happened, but you know what? If you're going to... You know what? He's a pro, and he's trying.
Yeah.
And that, you know what? Good on him for trying.
He got his Mania moment, finally.
That's his first Mania win, apparently.
A second. He's he's 4-8 and 2-8 in non-tag matches.
No,
like
okay. Well, there you go. But anyway, yeah. I mean, fine. But now you see, again, we talked about beforehand, it was either, you know what, Cody beats a Big Show and kind of gets put up to that next, or the Big Show is now the Intercontinental title holder, so you've got a bigger star with, you know, the Intercontinental Championship. So, you know, either way, I can see a positive coming out of either one. We both assumed that the way the storyline was played up, that the babyface had to get his comeuppance in the end.
And same thing, and I think that's why Kane beat Randy Orton, because, like, the babyfaces are winning almost every match. He kind of had to have a heel get a win somewhere.
I could see that.
Well, McMahon likes bigger guys.
And Big Show is indeed.
No, he's talking about Kane.
Oh.
I think McMahon likes bigger guys, and he wants bigger guys to win.
Your mom likes bigger guys.
That is true. That is true, he said. Anyway, let's talk about
For some reason, she still likes me.
I know, that's weird. Well, you're fat. But Jim Ross comes out.
Who?
Just don't break that chair.
Jim Ross.
Fuck you, B.
Yeah,
he said just
break
don't break
chair.
That chair.
Yeah,
douchebag.
All right. But this match went over 30 minutes.
I believe Addy called you fat at some point tonight, too. So.
Well, I just said he wasn't that skinny.
Oh, okay.
And say
all
he's
right.
fat.
All right. You saved that for me.
I did.
Yeah.
That's true, douche. That's why I splattered
a little. So, anyways, I want to finally talk about this. Quit interrupting it.
Good old JR.
I thought it was Indiana Jones. I thought, no?
Dr. Jones! Shortstop was in the Johnny and Teddy Hornswoggle.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Short time.
I think it's Short Round.
Lord Littlebrook. No.
Short Round.
What was it? Short Round.
Short
Little
Round.
Beaver? No, not Little Beaver. What was the other guy?
Short
Little
stuff.
Tokyo. Little Tokyo.
Short Stuff, according to my mom. You.
Little Tokyo. Short Stuff. Really?
Yeah, I threw my mom underneath the bus in order to make that joke, but it was worth it.
Hmm?
It was worth it.
I fucked your mom underneath the bus.
Did you have to bend her over?
It wasn't worth it.
It wasn't worth it? No. Was it double
down? We had to go down there.
Down where?
Down with there.
I was still a little itchy.
Again, this show is a train wreck, but move on. Anyways, JR comes out, and then the build for the match. The build for the match was awesome. The memory remains, right? The memory remains as they're lowering the cage. The two of them just face to face for a long time. Match started off
well. Well, Hunter comes out. They missed a little bit of Hunter's entrance showing the crowd, but it doesn't matter. Sean, HBK comes out. Yeah, they had some tag with the Divas thing, too. They had the tag. I assumed it was Eve's face. But
looked like the retro He-Man?
Yeah, a little bit. The old Castle Grayskull, you mean? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that Hunter's come out of. That's a little
he
bit
has
gimmick.
The power now
but
that he's in charge of the company.
Sean comes out, then Hunter comes out, then Undertaker comes out, or looking like Tim Sylvia.
Undertaker looked like Tim Sylvia. If everybody's not aware, that's a washed-up MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Undertaker look this soft, especially around the belly. You can see the fat hanging around the sides when he was from the back.
That's true.
His stomach was soft completely. He's usually, if not muscled, he's usually at least has a his physique is flat. Is you know.
Old.
He is old. Yeah,
look,
he was old. He was old last year too.
He's just old.
Yeah, how old is he? He's just so old.
He's so what?
So old.
But he was last year. He was old last year too. And you know what? Last year his physique was much better than this year. Like I said, it's usually flat. He usually looks almost skinny.
Like a large skinny guy.
And you tell the bruises on his back after the match.
Well, that's part of the story of the match. But he looked really. He looked soft. Soft is the best way I'd describe it.
No, but that said, did that affect his performance?
No, because the match wasn't exactly a high-paced match anyways, right?
No, that
it was a storytelling match. If anything, the thing that affected his performance, everybody's performance, was Shawn Michaels in the match. So there was moments where Shawn Michaels added. There was also moments where he took away being in the match.
Mm-hmm.
The match was pretty slow, but I thought
he was going to cry all through the match in the corner and not count 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I did too. It looked to me like at one point or another when these guys were beating on each other, like he had lost his smile.
Yeah. Well, you know, but as the old saying goes, right? The addy giveth and the addy taketh away.
Yeah.
So.
Good Lord.
Ha ha. But as the match went on, it was very slow and very plodding, and the crowd was not into
let's say it was a
30-minute match.
It was.
The crowd was not into, let's say, the first, say, 2 to 12 minutes. Like, the first couple minutes
they were,
the 2 to 12-minute mark, they weren't.
Not too much, no.
And then that's when Sean, and the thing, I guess there was a little bit of inconsistency in terms of HBK, because he's telling Hunter, stop it, give it, blah, 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 he's had enough, like, don't fuck him over, blah, 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 right? And then the first thing he gets, Sean super kicks him.
Well, what happened was,
he goes, oh, fuck it, I'm going well. I thought he didn't want anything to happen.
Thing, he didn't like the fact that Triple H was beating on him, like, with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's going too far, he's a human being, stop it. Basically, then what happened was Undertaker was on his back, and Shawn went to check on him, and he got put in the Hell's Gate submission.
Well, they're
like, right. And they were selling it like, oh, Undertaker doesn't even know who
didn't know who it was.
He's so out of it, he's just put it on instinct, right?
Yeah.
And then HBK super kicked him after that, which was the only physical thing that HBK did.
Undertaker's really running on instinct there.
But HBK super kicked him, and then Triple H did his pedigree, and Undertaker kicked out. But really, towards the end of the match, it was building up to the near falls. There was a lot of really good near falls, despite the slow moving match. The psychology got pretty good. The end of the match was the opposite of the year before. The end of the match at this time was Triple H just wouldn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting,
yes.
He just wouldn't stop, even though he was getting beat on and beat on and beat on.
Stay down.
Stay down. But this year it was him who wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
Finally, Undertaker put the tombstone on him, pinned him 1, 2, 3, as per your prediction, and then the three of them, the three
full
of them,
full of glory and renown.
And you can see at the end here, you can see the back of Undertaker when he had straps down. He got a spine buster on the chair on the steps
on the steel steps going around into the ring. Yeah,
a ton of really hard chair shots, and you could just see the bruises and the scars on his back.
Yeah.
And these guys really took some physical punishment. That's okay. They're not going to wrestle for a while. But the three of them walked out together.
I was going to say, Mary, Curly, and Moe all walked out together, right?
Yeah, they're all standing at the top of the ramp together. Undertaker and...
Hugging each other.
They're hugging each other.
Slapping each other, thanking each other for the match they had.
Yeah.
At the very top of the ramp, right?
Yeah,
which I thought was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a curtain call, but
a little bit makes a little bit of, hey, if this is our last one, at least we went out together and it was good.
Well, and
I don't think it is.
I said to you that was kind of the tailor-made deal, is that they kind of come out with a little bit of a mutual respect, right?
Yeah.
Sean gave the Undertaker his hand and picked the Undertaker up.
Yeah.
And raised Undertaker's hand, and then Hunter was down, and the two of them were up, and they both picked Hunter up then and raised him up. So, I mean, the thing is that nothing's really going to happen with any three of these guys for a while anyway, so it was a good deal.
It was good, and like I say, if they wanted to stop it, they could. If they want to keep going, they can. They left that door open. It's a good, it's a nice thing. A 3 1/4 is what I give it. What do you give it?
What did you give it?
3 1/4.
Yeah, I would give it, yeah, that's probably about right. A little more than 3 stars. If 3 is your average, I would say about a quarter star above average.
JR was fantastic in this. JR at the end of
this. Well, hell, and this is the point I need to make with this whole thing, is that Cole, when JR come out, Michael Cole said, you know, put his hand out and said, you know, good to see you, JR, because he, you know, like, this was a respecting, and this was a call, you could tell, this wasn't a Vince McMahon call.
Yeah.
This was a Hunter call.
Yeah.
That was, Jim Ross going to call our match, so that Michael Cole was respectful.
Yeah.
And in the call of the match, like, there were no smite ass. Like, this wasn't this wasn't Michael Cole, this character. Michael Cole actually stepped up his game. To wit, I think he stepped up his game. But I think he stepped up his game for the rest of the show.
Probably.
Beyond this point.
He had a boo-boo face when Ross came out.
I told you. I said, let's put up Michael Cole's face next to Matt Hardy's face.
Jeff Hardy.
He's going to do a job. Or Jeff Hardy's going to do a job. And it'd be the same fucking face because, you know... but Michael Cole had that, but he stepped his game up.
Yeah.
And he did so, I think, for the rest of the show.
But here's where JR was so great. At the end of this, he goes,
yes.
After 4 decades of sitting ringside calling this stuff, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like I just witnessed right here, right now. And that's the type of really, really, that's the type of Okay, Addy apparently needs to go take a Russo. Is that what I'm getting here? And B is now with the headset?
Okay.
B, what did you say? What do you think of JR?
I think JR was classy.
Classy
Freddie Blassie.
He was classy Freddie Blassie. No, I mean, just the way he sells it at the end, when he does it, it just feels that much more important. That's what he gets over. It's not just his call the match. It's the way he makes everything seem epic at the end, and that's what's so goddamn great about JR.
Kind of like what's his name? The guy that does vintage.
Gene Okerlund also thinks that, and kind of like your mom, she tells me at the end of the time, always that was absolutely epic, and I say, I know.
Fuck it. But
all right, so moving on from there, what happened? Was it Team Teddy versus?
It was Team Ted. Well, I mean, Team Teddy versus Team Johnny. Now we had a.
I liked how the King said, "Looks like Larry Nice just had a heart. Larry Nice had brother love written all over him."
No, yes.
Well,
no, that's not what
we
said.
We'll get there.
But thanks for ruining the joke before it happened. Fucking straight.
I think it adds to it myself. But
okay.
It's
what we call a tease.
Exactly.
Yeah, kind of like your mom.
Team Teddy, Team Johnny. Now, Team Johnny was in the locker room.
More like your grandma. Your mom's not a tease.
Yeah, no. Speaking of cocker room and Mo's mom, but there was Team Johnny and the Miz come in. The whole team's there doing their hypey thing except for David Otunga.
And David Otunga came in.
Miz does something and they all ignored him.
Yeah.
They're like, you son of a bitch.
Can I make a point here?
Please.
Absolutely. That's what we're all here for.
Guerrero's wife does not know how to wave a flag.
Yes, Vicky did not know how to wave a flag. That was very true.
Yeah.
Not like the midget.
That's true. That's too bad, because I understand she normally knows how to work a staff just quite well.
Yeah, no.
What? Kind of like the Cubans? Is that what you just said?
What?
You didn't
kind of like what?
Kind of like
sorry.
Kelly is what he meant.
Say that again?
The Cubans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fidel Sierra.
Yeah.
No. And, you know, Vicky's a widow, right?
Yeah, okay. Anyway. Not in Cuba. She's not a widow. She's a widow.
Why
everywhere.
Do you not have a headset?
Fuck. You keep fucking talking. I told you, when you want to say something, signal to one of us, and we'll let you talk.
Last show you didn't say nothing, and now you won't shut the fuck up.
And he also won't start farting.
Anyway, folks, we're getting anyway. So we're on Team Johnny. Anyway, so they did this. Miz was all, I was in last year's. They all ignored him.
Yeah, he's basically like, listen to me and you'll win. And everybody's like, whatever.
Fuck you. Exactly.
You
so
say, yeah.
Anyway, so then the whole match
and
happened.
And then Mr. Wellness Policy came out.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. David Wellness Policy Otunga. Black Bagwell comes out. And holy shit, he's got this shirt. Anyway.
I thought it was Flo Rider, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, Flo Rider.
I thought it was Black Jeff, actually.
You did, yeah, and it was. Mulligan? But Black Jeff Mulligan, yeah.
Yes, Black Jeff Mulligan, yes. Yeah, future Hall of Famer.
Current Hall of Famer.
Current Hall of Famer.
Yes.
It's Black Jack
and
Mulligan.
His son.
Black Jeff Mulligan.
But.
Is, yeah, that's it. That's the son he had with the Sapphire.
Yes, my boy Sapphire, baby.
So anyway.
Anyway.
We can buy your prices, but we can't beat your meat, but we can't buy your prices.
You can't beat our prices, but you sure can beat our meat. Americana Butcher Shop.
Thanks, Dusty.
Anyway.
What were you saying?
What I was saying.
This is a train wreck of a show.
But Team Johnny wins. Team Johnny wins.
Team Johnny wins because Miz ends up pinning Zack Ryder. When Zack has the upper hand and is looking like he's going to get the pin, and Eve comes in to help him celebrate. Because Eve came out with him even though she was a heel earlier, and we went, oh, that's weird. They're not even talking about this heel coming out with Zack Ryder on the babyface team. And then she comes into the ring, distracts the ref when Zack turns his back, gets a skull crushing finale, gets pinned. So then after the match, when everybody left, she kicks him in the nuts and walks out on him.
Yeah.
And everybody, all the babyface guys are like, oh, poor Zack. Not poor Teddy, he just lost his job. Poor Zack, he just got sacked. And, you know, I mean, then again, I understand that Zack Ryder is now going to be dating Rihanna. Do you know why?
Hmm? Yeah, because he doesn't beat anyone.
That's right. But pathetic, this is awful.
It was, you know what, though?
Awful match, awful everything. But at least the right guy won.
I was going to say, it ended up being the right result. And I can also see, I said, okay, well, she does the thing. And from a storyline perspective, that always made sense. Whether you like the storyline or you don't like the storyline, it's a different story. But
I think they should have built it up longer.
Yeah, of course. But, I mean, but at least I could follow it along, and I didn't have any, there weren't any logic holes outside of she come out with them.
Yeah.
Right? So it's kind of like, okay, well, the rest of it, Yeah, okay, whatever. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I don't give a fuck either way is really what it is. But
yeah.
But I understand that. Okay, that's fine. It's kind of like, oh, okay, next.
Yeah.
So, oh, sorry, B.
You know what Laranice's costume looked like? It kind of looked like Colonel Broderick Parker.
It did, actually.
And now we need to...
Thank you, B, because I almost forgot about this.
Yeah, now you need to get to the line of the night.
Jerry Lawler's. Line of the fucking night.
And it was, and I think it was, I don't think it was about Laurinaitis' suit. I thought it was about
Teddy's Laurinaitis.
Suit.
No, it was Laurinaitis' suit because I said to you, and I didn't
think
of this earlier, but I said as soon as Laurinaitis came on that sketch, I said, fuck, he looks like Brother Love.
Yeah.
I didn't think
of white suit, red tie.
Red tie.
And, yeah.
And I didn't think about any of this, and I said, oh, it looks like Brother Love, right? And Jerry Lawler takes me, and good on him. I mean, fuck, I was proud of this man. I'm disappointed in myself for not coming up with this, right? He says, this soon looks like Brother Love would have a heart attack. And, of course, Bruce Pritchard had one, maybe two
heart attacks in the last week and a half.
Last little bit. So my hat's off, my crown's off to Jerry the King Lawler for that comment.
Friend of the show, Jerry the King Lawler.
That just, he was on the show, yes,
yeah.
He was. And that just, I mean, I'm sorry, that was my favorite part of the night so far, actually.
It might be the highlight of the night.
That was the best night.
That could be the highlight of the night because the next match was the next thing was the Hall of Fame. We had the Hall of Fame induction. We had some videos about all of them, I guess. I don't even know. I mean, they
quick highlights of everybody from the year.
Including
an awesome 10 or 2 second highlight of Mike Tyson, where I already went, "What did he just say?"
Yeah, he's gonna be a wrestler, but I went to jail. Then he goes, "I'm sorry, everybody."
he starts laughing. Everybody's laughing at him.
Just laughing.
And what we've heard is that apparently his speech is like he's supposed to be on TV tomorrow. They're like, "Yeah, that won't be on TV because there's no way we can edit that for TV." So we'll see what happens. So Yokozuna might get on instead or whatever.
It could
but,
be.
Doesn't matter because Ron Simmons said damn.
Damn. Well, then he goes, the one word I'm over, damn. And he goes, honored. Right? So,
yeah.
I mean, but you know, everybody, obviously, this year's class, because they had five of the horsemen go in with J.J. Dillon, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Ric Flair.
Tully Blanchard,
and
who lost his father earlier in the week,
Joe
right?
Blanchard, yeah.
Joe Blanchard, yeah.
And he talks about that.
Yeah.
About
because
the
his father was
right?
a promoter.
Well, he's a promoter. He was a former here in the Canadian Football League, former Edmonton Eskimo with
right,
Wilbur
yeah.
Snyder, Stu Hart, and
yep.
a bunch of guys in that era. Yeah, Normie Kwong as well. He was on the same team. So
any more obscure names?
Jackie Parker. Yeah. No other people on the World Wide Web are going to know about. Jackie Parker. Who else?
Yeah.
Who else was on the 1932 Edmonton Eskimos? Be. Okay.
Oh yeah. Either way, a bunch of people that are listeners are very familiar with.
Yes. Anyway. Any fucking who. He lose them but I mean the horsemen were great there and you know but there's five of them so then you have that you have Ron Simmons of course you have the Rated R Superstar Edge and
Mike Tyson looked like except for the tattoo
yeah
he looked like what's his name Emmanuel Stewart or whatever or what not Emmanuel Stewart
Emmanuel Lewis.
Lewis
a Webster
yeah he looked like seriously he looked like Webster like this guy looks to me like he boxed at 225 pounds
I don't understand why I mean. He fucking, just because he called Stephanie McMahon ma'am, doesn't mean, I mean.
No, but he looks like he's about 125 pounds.
Just
like
because Triple H
not,
looks like George Papadopoulos
tall.
With that thing.
He was only like a 5'9", 5'10 guy anyways, right? But he looks like he's about 125, 140. He looks skinnier than you, dude. Well, no, that's not true. That was somebody later. But
we will get there. B, I want to know, I'm going to slap the headset on you while I let the dog in, because I want to know, because you and I are both wrestling aficionados, and we have a big love for the Hall of Fame.
Uh-oh.
And so I want you to, I just want you to talk very briefly here. I'm going to slap the headset on you. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about this year's Hall of Fame class here. Just one sec here.
Yeah. And remember, we don't want dead air. This is a radio, so just keep talking. Even if you have nothing to say, that's all your damn brother does, anyways.
Talk
about the Hall of Fame.
Edge was one of the ones I knew.
He was one of the ones you knew.
Ron Simmons.
You knew him.
Didn't know about that Mexican.
You didn't know about the Mexican, apparently. Neither did anybody in the audience last night.
Okay.
That was apparently me. So keep going. As Mil Máscaras, the biggest Mexican star in history, you didn't know him. That's okay. Go on. Ric Flair,
I knew.
Basically, they trotted out all these Hall of Fame guys, and everybody kind of, like, waves and does their little thing, and then they played the Hall of Fame music or something like that, and then they showed Edge, and they played his music. Edge was really emotional. Edge was crying here. And kind of like this is like what finally hit home to him. I got the feeling it's like, wow, I am retired. I am done. Like he seemed to get extremely emotional here, which was interesting. Good job, B.
Thanks, B.
You're welcome.
But, I agree with him, though, too. I mean, like, I don't know the Mexicans. So, I mean, you know,
they would be very upset with him.
But
good point.
Mil Máscaras, he used to do that flying forearm maneuver, right? That he learned in the Mexican Football League, the MFL.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean,
he's probably gonna be in the South Shore sometime.
He learned that from Tito Santana.
Yeah,
no,
I thought he was Tito Santana.
With the mask, so you don't know.
You don't know.
But anyway, so that's the did we get?
Did
we
you
get
ever hurt Mil Máscaras by getting him to sign one too many autographs?
No, because I don't want Mil Máscaras autograph. But we go to the Hall of Fame. We then from there we go to the CM Punk against Chris Jericho, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Now the thing to add here is Laurinaitis, now that he had all the power,
right.
Made the ruling before the match that. That if CM Punk got himself disqualified because he was so upset over what Jericho's done talking about his
anything.
Family.
Anything. Didn't matter, right?
Yeah, that he was going to
lose
the belt
title.
That
yes.
way. So, of course, the start of the match was Jericho doing everything he could to goad him into getting disqualified.
Yeah, which was actually a little... Well, I mean, I guess it was okay from that perspective. It just... Everything was kind of just flushed upon you, and the team...
The fans weren't in it.
No, not until the end. But the thing was, is it like all of a sudden it's like they do this backstage.
Jericho had a fantastic new jacket, though.
Well, yes, but they do this fantastic. They do this backstage vignette where then John Laurinaitis says, "Tells Punk this.
Yeah.
This stipulation.
Yeah.
And then immediately it's ding, 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 and Justin Roberts knows the stipulation all of a sudden. It's like, okay, well, maybe he's watching the thing. Okay, I get that much. But then Jericho's play, it seemed a little too contrived for me, that part. But my only complaint about the match is that he didn't get to do the Macho Man Randy Savage elbow drop, so to crit the crowd at WrestleMania chant Macho Man in a year where Macho Man Randy Savage should have gone into the Hall of Fame.
A person wearing a Macho Man shirt.
Yes, there was, in the front row. But, I mean, that to me, that was kind of my thing.
Just 1 second. Man, they call B. What part of signal before you have something to say is so fucking hard to understand?
He did. I am good.
Yeah, he finishes one third of the sentence. You pick up the last third. I mean, I don't mind. I find his analysis much better than yours. But nevertheless.
The thing is that we're being out here. We're 45 minutes into the show. He's just getting warmed up.
He's B the hammer B.
B the hammer Valentine.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
Yeah, dumbass.
Yeah, that's right. There was a porn star named Brooke Valentine. Really hot. Really hot.
Really?
Yeah.
Blair's yeah, he's not his head yet.
He's like, yeah, I know her.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
It's true.
We should do a show called We Talk Porn Stars. Me and B would know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Addie doesn't bother learning their names.
It he's doesn't
shallow.
Matter what
he's
their
shallow.
Name is.
I don't know their
name. There you go. Anyway.
Hey,
Google right now, Brooke Valentine. You guys are impressed.
You know what? It's fine. Yeah, breast. What?
What?
Anyway, Jericho and CM Punk tell the story about
no
the silicone.
All completely. What we're talking
Jericho
about?
Jericho and
anyway,
CM
talk,
Punk.
We already talked about
fucking goddamn WrestleMania just happened, and we're talking about fucking silicone. That gives you an idea, folks, of just how unbelievably just the magnitude of this television program here. This
disappointing, okay?
Fuck.
Anyways, get on with it. Get on with it. What's the matter with you?
Fuck.
Talk about Jericho and Punk.
Fuck
tried
it.
To start it so many times.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Right. No, I was already. You know, the thing is, I looked at it was very disappointing. I thought when they had whatever it was, 75 minutes, a minute, you know, an hour 15,
almost an hour and a half when they started.
And two matches left, right? And I thought, shit. And we were talking about that. Like, and
it started with an hour and a half left.
And I thought, man, these matches are both going to get some time. And I thought, well, Jericho Punk. And I had thought Jericho Punk, like, even from, like, the Rumble kind of thing where it was kind of known that it was going to be Jericho Punk at WrestleMania, like, that's where they were going. I thought, you know, even back in January, I'm going, well, okay, well, that's your match, right?
Yeah.
That's your wrestle match. And you know what? And sorry?
You know, this reminds me of is Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart with the family thing. Like, I know they're just characters just acting out, but if you see the DVD about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart, then it's just characters just.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, yeah, and
that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, well, and I mean, I can.
When Chris Benoit, Jericho made fun of CM Punk's family.
Not Chris Benoit, because he just killed his family.
You beat me to it, but let's talk about Chris Benoit and his family.
Yeah. What a good family man. No, but the thing was is that when I look at it is. With this match, and I went back to January and I thought, well, this has to be the match. I mean, like, it's these two. And they didn't do anything to convince me of that leading up to it, but I thought, you know, I other than that one face-to-face that they had about the best in the world and did you invent Canada, and when Punk was doing that, I thought, okay, well, this has a shot now.
And the thing is about the hype video was that's what it ended on.
Mm-hmm.
The hype video to build the match didn't. It started with the family.
Yeah, but hype video on the fucking WrestleMania
I know.
Already purchased for $64.95 has fucking done it. But leading up to that bullshit, it was that you were born before your fucking parents were married, so you're a fucking bastard. By the way, it's fucking 2012. You fuck is what it was, And it was like, fuck you, you fucking piece of fucking shit. It doesn't fucking matter when my fucking parents were fucking married to whether they're fucking born or fucking not. So let's just have a fucking wrestling match.
So Mikey Whipwreck just joined us on the show.
Fuck!
Mikey Whipwreck, how you doing?
Fuck, I'm fucking good, fuck! No, really, I mean, but the... Yeah, well, the thing is that...
Hey, dude, why don't you use the profanity? Say something, swear, say something.
I just think that this match, it didn't live up to my expectations. I don't know what other people's expectations might have
Been.
Yeah,
I mean, I was hoping this would be, especially, and I was saying to you after the Teddy match, the Teddy and the Johnny match, I'm like, Punk and Jericho, because I didn't know what I was going to get in Cena and Rock. I was like, this match really needs to deliver. And it felt like they were just running at three-quarter speed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just didn't... It felt really, really like they were following a script that they had laid out for the match.
Actually, everything at WrestleMania felt that way to me.
Yeah, it really did. It just was running at three-quarter speed. It just disappointed. Now, the near falls and the submission attempts at the end were well put together.
Yeah.
The psychology of them was good, and the crowd was into that. And it saved the match. And I'd give the match probably 3 stars, maybe a little under. It's pretty close, between 2 3/4 and 3 stars. It was okay, but, you know, I mean... Not what I needed it to be. I saw these guys once have a match. I think it was like a Gold Rush tournament.
You were saying that, yeah.
I saw these
I don't
guys
remember.
Have a match that went like 15, 20 minutes on Raw one time where Jericho beat him with the code breaker coming off the clothesline from the top rope. It was probably 15 minutes. It was an awesome. It was like a 4.5-star match. And so I was hoping I'd see that again. This, you know, and this was nowhere near that.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, this was, you know, and especially given all their, I mean, they just didn't do enough, in my opinion. For this and anyway, it happened. But I knew the hype wasn't good, and it was, I don't say it wasn't good.
Damn.
But
damn.
But the hype was not good. But I was expecting the match at least to deliver from an in ring, and it didn't.
No, it's disappointing.
There was no difference from this match from what there was with Cena and Rock, from what there was with Taker and Hunter. I mean, there was Taker and Hunter had a little bit more brutality from that perspective, in that it was no hold barred.
It was
kind of
probably
thing.
The third best match of the night behind Cena and Rock.
But
and,
no, but
and,
all I'm saying is
whatever.
That
but it,
the styles, were not any different. Is it like okay, let's go back now.
In ring, this is one of the most disappointing WrestleManias ever.
Let me just go back a little bit to history and what made Monday Nitro a successful program. Is that
I was on a program.
Someone was on a program
called Monday Night.
Monday Nitro. But you had your fucking Hogan's and Savage and Wolfpacks and all that bullshit that couldn't do shit. They were just talking and their Lugers and all that shit on top there that couldn't work worth shit.
And you had
but then you had your cruiserweights and you had your tag matches and you had your luchadors and you had all sorts of different shit all coming together.
The guys and the TV titles.
But it all come together.
All really, really good.
What
yeah.
I got on WrestleMania was all different levels of people from your U.S. title, from your tag thing, even in the pre-show, your tag shit, from your, you know, from your world title, from your old people end of an era bullshit, all the same. Every match was the same.
It was laid out the same.
There was
no
difference between Kane and Orton than Jericho and Punk.
There really was.
All the same.
Yeah.
Like Roddy Piper and Ric Flair at Stoneberry at one time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. That was different. Because you had your cruiserweight shit on top, underneath,
and Rey Mysterio and whatever that guy is.
Dean Malenko?
Dean Malenko and all those other guys that did crazy maneuvers like off the top rope.
Yeah, they gave you really. WCW was successful because they gave you at the beginning of the card was great wrestling, and then the end of the card was the great storylines and angles and promos.
But WWF used to do that too.
Yeah, as well. Yeah,
you took away the cruiserweights and you throw in the hardcore.
Yeah.
That's all the Attitude Era did that was any different.
Yeah,
was absolutely. And you had different shit and you had different stuff. And they don't do that anymore.
No, everybody wrestled the same style. Everybody was the WWE style, very much the same
psychology. I'm watching
this
WrestleMania,
yeah.
and I got a vanilla Intercontinental title match to go with vanilla world title or world WWF title match.
Dean Malenko was one of these matches?
I had no idea that Dean and Eddie and yeah, geez, it's great. Chris, I mean, and fucking midgets and shit. Well, Hornswoggle was in that one match, but
yeah,
I mean,
so he's not a midget. He's a little
person.
But
it was all fucking the same, and that's the problem,
yeah,
right?
It is absolutely, and you know what? So you had varying degrees of success within that WWE style, where
mm-hmm.
the best two matches were both 3 1/4, and the worst match was about a 3/4-star match, and you know, and then everything in between.
Okay, well, we just did that, and then we did the world title match, which okay, we should point out that Punk made Jericho tap out to the Anaconda Vice.
So the Anaconda Vice,
yes.
Retained, yeah.
Yes.
What I think the WWE has to do is build chemistry within the wrestling. Within the wrestlers, like when they have feuds,
mm-hmm.
because like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, they had a great feud going for a long period of time. That was chemistry. Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3.
Yeah.
That guy had some kind of good storyline to it and good build up and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you didn't really see it, but for instance, Big Show and Cody Rhodes had a really good build up. So it had a really good storyline.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, the match was as good as you could expect.
Yeah, but it didn't have a good match.
No, that's true.
WrestleMania.
That's true. And then you had a stupid build up in Punk and Jericho and an average match. Yeah.
And now, I mean, here we
are.
They
have a lot of great workers, they're not letting them work in a great style necessarily.
No, but I mean, now let's get to the...
But this is, WrestleMania also was really controlled. Everything that's in the ring and everything that's on the program, really, really controlled. Now let's get to the main event, which of course opened up with Machine Gun Kelly.
Yes, and
not one, and this is what surprised the shit out of me for this night, The Rock and John Cena, neither one of them cut a promo.
See, my first... Yeah, well, that's true to me, too. But you were saying, oh, you got to hear from us. And no, it's too late, because to me, for them to hear from them, you're going to hear from them first hour, and then you're going to let the crowd kind of die down, and you're going to do
yeah.
it. But my first thought to you was, I can't believe Nick Diaz knew how to rap. And then, B, who did you say? You said you couldn't believe who knew how to rap. You said you could not believe that Jason Sensation.
Oh, Jason Sensation could.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy
yeah.
was skinnier than you. That's saying something.
Yeah. Oh.
Machine Gun Kelly, like 27 pounds. He came out to a song that was really, really familiar, and I still don't believe it's his, but it might be. I don't know. I don't know the guy.
Well, it's all, if no one does, it's all fucking featurings and shit now.
Yeah.
So it's like Flo Rida's the same thing, man.
You know why they didn't have a promo with Cena or Rock? Because they didn't want to give away who's in the match.
We forgot to mention the Flo Riders backstage.
Oh, with the one man,
yeah,
Southern Rock Bang.
Why don't you take a swig of your beer and then why don't you describe this?
Well, fuck, I asked you.
Yes, fuck or shit. Either one would be a good start.
What?
Fuck
it. I just asked if Flo Rida.
Well,
comes Florida, out,
as Heath Slater
comes out. And
him.
Then Heath Slater comes out as one man Southern Rock band, and he says, no, I want to talk
Josh
to
Josh Matthews was there
Florida.
In interview Florida.
Yes, and I thought it was JBL at first. But,
did you?
Yeah, I did. I'm like, oh, yeah. Fuck, David. For like a split second, I'm like, oh, shit, no.
You were okay. drinking.
Yes. What? But anyway. So then, Flo Rida comes out and fucking Heath Slater does some shitty comedy with him.
Oh yeah, Heath Slater's like, why do you need him when you have the one man Southern Rock band?
But the big
Flo Rida came out.
Florida comes out and Flo Rida comes out and anyway, none of it was any good or worth mentioning. The fact was is that Flo Rida shoves Slater like shoot wise, and Slater like just goes flying into the wall, which is brutal.
It was a brutal bump.
It was a great bump. And
Flo Rida is legitimately looks like he's like 6'3" and about 260 pounds.
He's
like,
on the Hunter diet. Yeah,
he's on the Hunter diet. He was bloated like Hunter at the end of his cycle. Like
we didn't talk about Undertaker not having his hair.
Yeah, well, you said he looked like Tim Sylvia.
Well, yeah, but we didn't really
Yeah, it was almost like
why.
A mohawk.
Yeah, it was kind of a mohawk.
They never mentioned why. You said that he looked like a guy who was a 1970s punk rock star who came out today to do a concert
with
the same look.
Yeah.
Who hadn't changed his look in all those years. He
had a short-haired mohawk, had a big-ass paunch, and had mascara around his eyes. I said, you know, he's a 70s rock punk star that come out today. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But anyways, Machine Gun Kelly and Flo Rida introduced the two guys. Cena was booed. Rock was cheered. Big surprise. Probably a 90-10 split at least.
I think that's about it. Well, I mean, we listened to the Let's Go Cena. Cena sucks. And it looked like, from what we could tell in the crowd, the same people that were going Let's Go Cena were going Cena sucks.
Remind me of Hogan and The Rock.
Yeah.
A little bit. But there's also the idea that I think some of the Let's Go Cena stuff could have been piped in also. I mean, there's also
The thing was is that it looked like it was the same people doing that was just the chant to these monkeys. It didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I will say this, between Flo Rida and Machine Gun Kelly, I thought that the skink that Flo Rida had lip syncing for him wasn't as good a lip syncer as the skank lip syncing for Machine Gun Kelly.
How many pisses did you take during this segment?
Like three.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
But
went on forever. They introduced the whole song from Jesus.
Oh yeah. I mean I heard of all three songs, so I didn't really mind them so much. But
to the actual match.
But the actual match itself, slow plotting. I mean,
it wasn't a slow. No, it was a much better pace than most of the other.
It actually was. It was
extremely panned out. But it was the best better pace than everything else in the match.
The thing was is that the finish ends up being that John Cena goes for too much, tries to do the people's elbow.
Yeah.
And gets caught and gets rock bottom.
Yeah.
And Rock wins. And that's that was surprising to me.
The crowd, this was good because it wasn't badly paced, the psychology was all right, and the crowd was really, really, really into it.
Mm-hmm.
So it made for, again, a 3¼-star match. I go back and forth. I think this would probably end up being my favorite match, especially because it did have the right win, because there was some good near falls at the end, some really close near falls, too. And, it's right. And now, you know, and I kept on thinking it is the right move for Rock to win, and I kept on thinking there's no way they're going to do it.
Thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at it like this show was so, so-so. That this match actually, like, if Cena had won, I'd be on here going, you know, this is a horrible show.
Yeah.
But Brock won, so I'm going, this is a thumbs up show to me. Like, I left with a good feeling.
Yeah.
And this isn't the greatest, you know, wrestling spectacular of all time.
No.
But I left with a good feeling because Brock won. I mean,
end of the day, if you ask me this Mania or last year's, I'd say this one just slightly.
Yeah.
I don't think either one were great shows, but this one's just slightly better. It delivered a little bit more in the main event, so.
What really missed was the briefcase match.
The Money in the Bank.
Honestly, it's true.
It's damn true.
The 12-man match or 6-man whatever tag, 12-man.
12-man, 6-on-6.
Yeah. That was a clusterfuck in a lot of ways and not nearly as exciting as the 12-man Money in the Bank that we used to get.
Well, we may not know this because you didn't follow as much, but instead of the briefcase of Money in the Bank, they had that Team Johnny versus Team Teddy, right? Remember the T-shirt match?
That was correct.
Well, yes, but now they have their own pay-per-view called Money in the Bank, and there's two ladder matches on it. So that comes in July, I think. They'll come over here. We'll do the show.
They also have another show, I understand, coming up in, I think it's coming up in, that's in July, and I think this other one's coming up in November. It's Kelly's going to be hung above the ring, and if you climb up there and capture her, you give her $20, and it's money and a skank.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
In November?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with Eve,
yeah. Yes.
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's called Thanksgiving.
Speaking of which, John Cena had a new shirt.
Oh yes,
some green
bullshit.
Yeah, it looked like
looked like the Boston Celtics.
It did look like Boston Celtics.
Good call.
Had You Can't See Me on the back, which actually is funny because I understand that you got a scoop from TNA's next tapings that Dixie Carter will be out there, and she's going to have a new catchphrase.
She does. I saw Dixie Carter, actually, there was like a pre-tape for it, and it lied. I don't know, linked on like, I don't think it was on like YouTube. I think it was on like Daily Motion or someone was under card, or under, not as mainstream deals. But anyway, it is that Dixie Carter standing in the middle of a TNA ring going, "You can't see me."
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. It makes
like,
sense, though.
I'm like, no, I can't. And
yeah,
disappointed. Because
that's
back.
Who she is.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways.
She had some personality to her, though, so it seemed good.
Yeah. So anyways, so the big question is, what does this mean for...
Well, here to go.
Justina.
Here, yo-yo and away
and
we
Raw.
Go. Yes, what do we do tomorrow now?
I mean, that was one thing I was wondering even before this, and I actually wanted to talk about this, but all the shows are so packed. I wanted to talk about this a few weeks ago.
Like your mom.
If nothing stepped up. She's packed?
Yeah. You're welcome. Down where?
Down there. So anyways. What the fuck was I saying?
Something about your mom being
anyways,
packed down where?
Down there.
That's right. So anyways, I wanted to talk about Cena doesn't have anything set up after Mania. So
no.
Where does he go after this? And then
to your mom.
But then
down where?
Down there.
There you go. Packing the fudge.
We need to pick a B every Sunday for the show,
yeah,
I think.
Exactly. So anyways, let's
No, but
what do you do with Cena?
Tomorrow night.
And you know what? I was thinking, what do you do with him? Because I was expecting him to win, and I was wondering what... But now that he's lost, it's even more. Where does he go from here? Who's his next opponent?
Where do we go? My lonely... No? You never seen Night at the Roxbury?
Of course I have.
Of course. Where do we go? I want to know. My lonely... No? Come on.
Well, you expect me to sing with you?
Yeah, well, anyway. Cena. Where does Cena go? See, here. I don't even give a fuck at this point where Cena goes right now.
Where did The Rock go, too?
Snitch. And he's got like 6 movies he's filming or some bullshit
like
before the end of the
year.
Yeah.
But he's going to be on Raw tomorrow. So what does he say? What does Cena say? We're hearing that they're going to once again do a 1-year build for a Mania main event.
I think, you know, I said this.
And was Cena doing a heel turn when he did the people's elbow?
Wow.
And then he was kind of, and when he's outside the ring, he kind of had this look, just this contemplative look.
He kind of had that, look, he didn't have a heel look?
No.
Face look, nothing. A couple things with that. I think that Brock Lesnar. I think he attacks.
What's his contract he signed?
Well, the rumor here is, and nothing's completely substantiated, but the word on the street from the Wrestling Observer with Dave Meltzer is that he signed a deal that's going to make him, over the next year, probably have to commit to, let's say, 20 dates.
Yeah.
If that. Yeah. Like that would be on the high end. He would do SummerSlam, he'd do Survivor Series. He'd do WrestleMania as the pay-per-views. He wouldn't. Royal Rumble never got played into that.
Yeah.
He'd do those 3 pay-per-views as matches.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest, he might do a couple TVs leading up to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not going to be around a lot. But Brock, so to me, that's Brock and Undertaker. It's a situation tomorrow night that we laid out months ago where Brock comes in, Undertaker does his thing, and Brock comes in and lays him out.
Well, what they could do is do a Brock, Undertaker, Kane, and Big Show Final Four match.
Well,
that is something else they could do, or they could not do that.
Well, the thing is, I think with Brock Lesnar, they're going to do one-on-one. So I think... I think you're on to something when you've picked his opponents, though.
It's going to be either 3.
No, but I think that if Brock Lesnar is going to do SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and WrestleMania, that he might be able to go against the Big Show, Kane, and then The Undertaker as his 3 opponents to A, th- say that he's beaten the big ass man, B to say that he's beaten the Undertaker's brother,
mm-hmm.
and then C to beat the Undertaker. You know what I mean? So like
yeah.
that those three opponents make sense to me.
So it builds up of Undertaker being undefeated.
Well, it just builds up Undertaker Brock Lesnar. Yeah, so. I think that might, but anyway, that's what was, so the storyline that we laid out a month ago.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Of Lesnar coming in and then just attacking Undertaker tomorrow. To me, that's
what
you
do. Well, the thing is,
what
you had was when Lesnar fought Cain Velasquez after the match, as he's walking by Undertaker kind of grabbed him and said, so are we going to do this thing or what? And that created a bunch of YouTube hits. So what you should do now is have Undertaker come out tomorrow, kind of tease a retirement, have
mm-hmm.
him be jumped from behind by Lesnar. Lesnar lays him out, destroys him, and then he takes the mic and he goes, so are we going to do this thing? The answer is no, and walks away. And you don't see Lesnar for a while. And then you get the storyline of Lesnar being built up, of Taker wanting this guy and building the match.
I don't even get, are we going to do this thing? The answer is no. I leave it hanging. Are we going to do this thing? And
yeah,
just
you
leave
can
it.
Do that, yeah.
And just leave it.
Yeah.
And then you get Lesnar for
and then when February and March comes up, you start building it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's when come the Royal Rumble, that's when Taker comes
okay.
back to accept. You know, but that's kind of what it is. And then, I mean, the rest of everything else, I think is going to be rematches. I think you're going to get Daniel Bryan.
But I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Cena's not going to have a rematch, right? Sheamus and Bryan Orton. Excuse me, Orton, Kane.
Yeah.
Punk, Jericho, though there doesn't seem to be much reason for a rematch because clean as a sheet in the ring.
Hmm?
Clean as a sheet in the ring.
For what?
Punk, Jericho. Doesn't really build to a rematch, what they did here.
That's true, but the hate.
I
could
see CM Punk and Cena go at it.
Well, yeah, but the
they could
hate
do that, right? The next pay-per-view
in
Chicago, you could do a rematch, Cena defending against Punk.
Punk
defending against
Cena
in a rematch from their TLC match.
I actually kind of like that because if you are going to turn Cena heel,
it can be part of it, especially if he loses again. And now he starts getting a losing streak and he gets him frustrated.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, I don't know that you're turning Cena, but.
I would.
Absolutely.
I mean, I said
it's great business.
Well, I think it is great business, and I think that's. That's kind of the way you go, but I mean, I do Cena Punk. I mean, I don't see who else do you have Cena feuding with at this point.
Well, there is one other name out there that was apparently he was in Miami for something else unrelated, but was picked up by limousines.
Oh, you're thinking of someone different than I was thinking just a second ago.
Okay,
anyway,
who were you thinking?
I was going to say, and this is apparently someone that's going to debut. Tomorrow night on Raw.
Lord Tensai?
Lord Tensai, Albert.
Tensai. Okay, so there's one.
There's a fellow by the name of Lord Tensai. Do you remember Albert? The hip-hop hippo. Remember Albert? A-Train.
Prince Albert.
A-Train.
A-Train. A-Train, okay.
He's back.
He was
new gimmick. He's Japanese now.
He went to Japan for quite a few years, actually, and become actually a really good wrestler in Japan.
Yeah.
And he's back now. And apparently his gimmick is now Lord Tensai, and apparently he's going to be thrust into maybe against John
upper
Cena,
mid-card,
right?
Yeah.
Up like very high up, so
yeah.
He might be fighting John Cena at that.
I think you're better
but
off.
I like your idea of him fighting CM Punk, and
I like
then,
him against Sheamus. Personally, that's what I do.
Well, but Monday Night Raw, right? I think Raw is still the mothership, if you will, Dan.
I mean, it doesn't matter because Sheamus and Tenzay are also on Monday Night Raw, regardless.
Well,
so I do that. But
what will their general manager think, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
And they're still going to have a draft, even though they
right.
have one general manager. But no, the guy I was naming, the guy who was picked up in business or apparently unrelated business, he was in Miami, but picked
big
up by
Wave.
The Big Dave Batista. And if you'll remember, how did Dave Batista get kicked out of the WWE? He was beat by John Cena, lost a Loser Leaves Town match, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And that was, what, two years ago, something like that?
About 2 years ago, yeah.
So I think you could have Big Dave come back. And
I thought Batista was going to try his tryouts in UFC.
No,
he talked about having an MMA match, but not
he did, yeah, but
not
he
at UFC level. He was never looking at that.
Oh, like.
Yeah. No, he's never looking at USC level. So, I mean, I think that that's interesting if you go into the idea of Big Dave versus.
Well, what you could do is go Batista versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Batista versus Lesnar, I think, is another possible matchup. I think Lesnar said that the guys he's want to wrestle are Stone Cold Steve Austin and Undertaker. Those are the only guys he's mentioned. And then you got Batista, who said he wants to wrestle Triple H or the Undertaker. And you got CM Punk, who's dying for a match with Austin. Austin has said that he would like to wrestle The Rock, he said CM Punk would be okay, but The Rock's the guy he'd like to wrestle. Or Lesnar. So, I mean, Lesnar and Austin, I could definitely see, though, because both of them want to wrestle each other. And it'd be interesting. We've never seen it. It'd be a fresh match.
Yeah, but Lesnar doesn't sell. Like, he seems to me that Lesnar doesn't sell things. Like, when he went off the top rope and he almost broke his neck. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember when he almost broke his neck. He was out of it to the point where he was dazed and he couldn't sell anything.
Yeah.
He was legitimately almost dead. And so, what can he say? He had a concussion. Of course, he wasn't selling anything. He was literally out of it. He couldn't remember what the script was. The thing about Lesnar is, you have to be careful in what you do with him because he's not going to have many matches, too. So, I mean, but he's a big draw. He's a huge draw on pay-per-view. I mean, he was a huge draw for UFC. He's going to come back and be probably the biggest draw in the company, I would imagine. Outside of The Rock, maybe, but The Rock's a different deal. So I mean, he's a massive star. I don't know. Right. Who do you? If I was to say to you, who do you want to see Lesnar against? Who would you say?
I'd probably say Batista and Orton in a three way.
Batista and Orton in a three way. You could do that too. So I mean, it depends on whether or not Batista's back. Depends on whether or not Lesnar's really back. I know Addy was saying that he was excited about the idea of Batista and Lesnar being back, and I was like, it doesn't really do as much for me as apparently him, because I'm not a huge fucking mark like he is. But what is it that you had? Why is it this gets you going? Why is it that this gets you off?
Well, they're both white. No. The thing is that I didn't look at it like when you're talking about, it doesn't really do anything for me. And I said, well, you know what? The thing is, for me right now, I look at business. And I look at, Brock Lesnar especially, being a box office sort of a smash person, right?
Yeah.
And I think
he probably have one-fifth the drawing power in WWE that he had in UFC. That'd still be 200,000 buys and more than anybody else.
Well, the thing is, if that brings them from 200 to 400.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, fuck on you, right? So, and the thing was, is that, and with Dave Bautista, I kind of look at, this isn't a long-term future build. Like, I understand that part of it. But I also look at, because I look at realistically right now, when you look at CM Punk, right, who's an internet darling, and I love CM Punk, and I think he's tremendous. But he's Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Steve Austin.
He's
not Hulk Hogan. He's not that guy. He's
okay.
Bret Hart, and he's Shawn Michaels. He's that dip guy. He's your top guy when business is down.
Okay.
And same with Jericho, and same with all these guys. Everybody they have now is not The Rock and Austin and Hogan and all these. There isn't anybody that I see yet.
Kind of like an attitude.
Hmm?
Kind of like an attitude.
Well, yeah, but
kind of like the attitude generation.
Well, I understand, but no one's going to...
More like in the new generation.
I haven't seen... I thought Punk was going to be that bust-out guy
when
he did that promo. I thought that was going to be Austin 316. It wasn't.
No.
Because their bureaucracy levels
are... There's a lot of reasons for that, yeah.
And,
some of it on him, some not.
Well, most not.
Yeah.
And I gave up at that point.
Yeah.
A couple months later, I gave up. I said, fuck this shit. Like, I'm done. If you can't... If you're turning that chicken scratch into chicken shit, then I'm done.
Yeah.
With the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because that pissed me off.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody now that's that breakout guy.
No, well, that's the thing, though. So, but your point is then you were like, well, you said to me, well, if this doesn't get you excited, you might as well give up. And I'm like, well, no, because it doesn't make me less excited.
I said
you give up.
I was joking.
You give up if you're less excited. It doesn't make me less excited. It's going to make me more excited.
I know. I was joking there.
Like, what would make me excited is to see Claudio Castagnoli,
yeah,
Chris Hero, Tyler Black, Creed, Consequences Creed, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, see these guys be pushed up and the company build around them as a main event and see if they have something. That's what would get me excited. Guys like Dave Bautista, who's in his mid-40s and and doesn't have a huge passion for the business, or a washed-up MMA fighter whose health I question, and Brock Lesnar, who's being exposed as not being as scary as he once was and doesn't love the business. These guys, they're Band-Aid and they're big stars and they're good for the company they're bringing, but for me personally, it doesn't make me excited. Not like seeing some new guys actually get it, who've cut their teeth in the business, and like a hero, and have lots of talent, and that's for me what would make me excited. That's just what I say. But doesn't make me excited.
I understand that, and I do, and I did understand. I was just playing with you.
Yeah, you're being a dick.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah,
it's shocking.
Yeah,
I know.
That never happened.
Because I'm such a nice guy.
You know what they should do is have Dolph Ziggler and kind of like what they had with Evolution.
Yeah, a group, you mean.
Like a group, kind of like the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's it. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, is Nexus wasn't, not everybody they brought up into Nexus worked because not everybody was ready, but all the guys I just mentioned are ready, so make a group with those guys and let them actually be the new blood. Because I'm like, again, same thing, WCW, they're new blood, they weren't already. These are a bunch of guys who I think are ready. And that's it, they have these guys. So that would be more exciting to me, is I really just want to see some new blood in the main event and some new. I understand that.
But I mean, I also look at in part of it, with the Band-Aid, from a short term, I look at, okay, well, like, Brock Lesnar excites me. Brock Lesnar coming in.
It's a Band-Aid, and if the booking...
Of course it's a Band-Aid.
If the booking is good, it will excite me, too. If the booking's good, but if the booking was good for the other guys, that would excite
me more. I'll give you an example. The greatest professional wrestler of all time.
Owen Hart or Randy Savage?
Owen Hart.
Okay.
And there's actually a twofold reason for this being the greatest pay-per-view of all time. The 1994 King of the Ring.
Yeah. Art Donovan being that
Art
part?
Donovan.
Art Donovan.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Art Donovan. But no, I mean, the reality, that what was the main event of that?
It was Jerry Lawler versus Roddy Piper.
Yes, it was. And that was 1994. With the new generation.
The semi-main was, in the middle of the show, was Bret Hart, world champion, defending against
Intercontinental
champion
Diesel.
And a really good match.
Diesel won by, yes,
like,
and
DQ
Diesel won by DQ, because Anvil interfered,
right.
Which later built in the story, blah, blah, Anvil helped. But the thing was
do a 1994.
Not before 97, because 97 was a way better year than 94.
Okay, we'll do that next.
But the thing was, is that that was the main event, was what was old, was built up.
And it
up.
Didn't have a good match, and the crowd wasn't as into it as a lot of the other stuff that night. But you're right, it was the selling point.
See, but it's the same concept, same idea here.
Or like WCW you talked about.
Yeah,
it's just that I think these guys are ready to be pushed up. A lot of these guys are ready to be pushed up. And if Lesnar and Batista and these guys are there, they won't be.
Well, honestly, I don't think Batista's coming in. I think Lesnar is, but
okay.
I don't think Batista is. But I just kind of look at, and that's fine. But, again, to me, it's kind of like, with this sentiment, this backlash to The Rock coming in, right? And it's like, well, if that's the backlash, can steal the show.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Dolph Ziggler, steal the fucking show.
Yeah, he didn't have the opportunity tonight, but, you know, Jericho and Punk did.
He could have had the opportunity, though. You talk about he didn't have the opportunity. Take the fucking opportunity. You don't tell me that tag match was you do this and you tag out. You do this and
it was. Everybody needs to get their spot. So you
no,
need to get your spot.
But
you need, yes, it was.
There were spots. I'll give you. There were spots. But... not their dog spots, but my spot. He's in the Hall of Fame. But You could have taken your opportunity and just overshot.
Anderson's in the Hall of Fame before Nash.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, actually. No, it. I mean, fuck it. No, it does.
No, it does. I'm just curious. Okay.
Yeah, but it does. But no, it's one of those situations where you make your own luck sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to do that, but.
But how about this then? You say you make your own luck and you do something in that match, and you make your spot. How many fucking times have we seen people like Shelton Benjamin and guys like that? And Shelton Benjamin.
Well, sure.
Kofi Kingston, guys like this at a Royal Rumble or Money in the Bank or whatever, do that, and it still doesn't lead to anything.
No, I understand that. I do, and Mo, if I can be honest with you. No, the thing is, I know where we're going, and WrestleMania is in the books, and we're kind of doing this shit now, and we're talking about where do we go from here, right?
Yeah.
And I hope to God that Cena is at least, and the company is at least contemplating a heel turn.
I hope so.
Because, I don't see where you go.
Yeah, that's the thing. He really
Brock won clean.
He's really out of a. Well, the thing is, though, Brock winning clean against a babyface and then comes out could make him a sympathetic babyface, like Bret Hart losing clean to British Bulldog.
Nope.
It could.
Nope.
That's the theory.
No, but yeah, but no.
No. How come?
No, because
I mean Steve.
Because
Steve
Bret Hart was a babyface going in, and Cena's not a babyface. Like, I mean, Cena's portrayed as a babyface, but he's not a babyface.
The Rock beat Hulk Hogan clean. The Rock
did he?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
In WrestleMania 18.
I know, but I don't remember
Hulk
the finish,
Hogan was,
honestly.
He beat him clean.
No, okay.
Don't you remember Hulk Hogan
honestly,
said after you give me a rock bottom, even though it shattered every rib he had, he told The Rock to pick him up and give him one more so he could put The Rock over properly. He wrote that in his book.
He's such a good guy.
Okay.
Yes, what a great guy.
Yeah, Hulk
but
Hogan.
No, but I mean, Hulk Hogan, I'm coming after you, nigga. No, but...
Booker T was this on the show, folks.
Yeah. But honestly,
we don't like to use that word on the air, Andy.
The Booker does. But
and so does Mark Henry.
But yes. No, and
but,
you
but
know,
yeah, I mean, Hogan was a heel going into that match, but lost clean to The
that's
Rock.
That's right. Wow.
And then came out as a babyface.
Hogan was a heel. I mean, Hogan wasn't a heel. I mean, he was on TV, but he wasn't there, and he was never going to be there, and that was a babyface match. And the crowd felt they had to prove a point by cheering Hogan over Rock and blah, blah, blah. With Cena, I mean, against Edge, when Edge won his first title, and I don't even know how fucking long ago that was. I think that was the same pay-per-view that Gene Snitsky and...
Oh, fucking, like that was Elimination Chamber, like 2000.
Well, I know, but that's what I mean. But the next Royal Rumble, I think, was the same one that Gene Snitsky
actually, it wasn't
and Heidenreich...
It was talking
New
about
Year's
Revolution?
Yeah, it was New Year's Revolution in January, and then they had the Rumble after. I remember Gene Snitsky and Heidenreich doing the, I hate caskets. And they almost kissed or whatever, and I think that was the pay-per-view where...
they did kiss, and then fucked.
Something like that. But I think that's when... Edge lost the title to Cena, and everybody talked about the superstar Billy Graham thing. But anyway, the thing was is that Cena was getting booed then.
Yes.
And that was in, we talked about 2010 years
but
ago.
But there's a difference, though.
So,
I mean,
no, there's not a difference.
Well,
in
no,
that.
I will say there is a difference in that they did what they could to make Cena as a sympathetic babyface, and that he came out as the Elimination Chamber, was the first contestant, survived everybody, and then lost to a guy cashing the Money in the Bank.
No, he actually went for 10 minutes then. But anyway... Mm.
No, he did. He came out first. He survived everybody. He was the first entrant.
You're right,
and
that one he did. But
yeah. The
fact is, all I'm talking about is now, the here and the now in 2012, and the fact that he's booed, and the fact that you make him a sympathetic. No, you can't anymore because it's been 10 years. People don't give a fuck. You have to turn him heel.
Well, okay. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with turning him heel because I've been on this longer than you. But I will just say that what we need to see is two things.
Mm-hmm.
If the crowd does take to him a little more sympathetically, coming out of what happened tonight, and B, if they cannot make him a smarmy, motherfucking, asshole, annoying prick.
B's in the kitchen.
What?
They said B.
Oh, and A and then B. The man called B? Where's the man called A?
Huh?
That would be you. For
A-O!
Asshole. Number one is he going to be more sympathetic, and number two is if you don't make him a smarmy heel,
he's more pathetic.
No, he might be more sympathetic coming out of this. The crowd might be into him a little more. Okay, you lost the Rock into your home. You tried your best. You did the job clean and all this stuff that might be. We'll see how the crowd takes to him tomorrow night and going forward.
And then
he has to not cut the smarmy heel promo that he cut in the go home show. That was the problem. That's why people hate the characters. That go home show promo was the perfect example. If he doesn't do that, we'll see if they can actually make him a baby face. I have to see this, but I do agree with you. I think they should be turning him heel. I think the only thing is, unfortunately, it would kill a lot of kids, little kids, break their hearts. But
fuck them.
But I agree, too, because you know what? It's all about business. And frankly, you just give them Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara and these guys anyways.
No, fuck you. Those kids hate Cena now.
No, they don't.
No, when he turns on them.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And they want to see him get beat up. They're stupid fucks.
There is the worry that some people, when Austin turned, some people went, fuck you, Austin, for turning. When they walked away, there's some worry.
But
it's not that big a deal. I think it's worth it. And I think if you
that was
bring
Austin.
In, yeah, if you bring up a whole new fan base who's interested, who's adult, because they can cheer a whole new fan base because they can boo against Cena and feel it without having to worry about the company pushing him down their throat.
Yes, like your mom. But I think that Cena turning. Down there. I think that Cena turning is more like Hogan, though, how I look at it. Is that Austin turning was...
I agree, but, you know...
It is the same kind of...
There was nobody
on.
Who was, wasn't waiting for ready for ready for Hogan to turn. I think there's some people not ready for Cena to turn. But like
what
I
are
say,
you talking
small,
about now?
It is the small fan base that the there
with
is...
Hogan was a little bit of a story, because Hogan had been waiting... People have been waiting for Hogan to turn heel... For years. I mean, it was 1996. Remember the Great America, the Bash at the Beach? Remember watching that and Scramble? It was 1996. And people were booing Hogan in the 1992 Royal Rumble.
Earlier, probably. We just
It's a thing, right?
We sweetened the sound, right?
Exactly.
He lost his edge when he got beaten by Yokozuna.
Well, even before that, though.
But no, that's not what I'm saying. Is that I think when Hogan...
No, it started before
pretty
that,
much,
though.
All I'm saying is when Hogan was turned, everybody was ready for the turn. When Cena, if Cena turns now, most people are, but there's still
everybody
kids.
Will
no, there's
be ready.
Still the kids. Like I say, there's some kids who are really, you know, he does have that special. I got this more from that.
Yeah, special.
He has that special connection with a certain fan base.
Yeah, special.
Yeah, but he does. So, I mean, he really legitimately
make a wish.
Does.
Special. You know, I understand what you're saying, but you know what?
You're gonna make a wish that my boot's not in your ass anymore. You keep cutting me off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true, because you got B here.
It's tingly. But the thing is no, I honestly think that I said this a year ago.
Yeah.
What you need to turn Cena heel is you need that replacement babyface.
Yeah.
And Punk seemed like it was going to be that.
Yeah.
I don't know that he is.
No, he might not be. The Sheamus might be. We don't know.
He's not the ratings guy.
Build
the
company around Sheamus. Build the
Punk
company around...
Punk is not the ratings draw. He's the merchandise guy.
You know,
well, look at the... Who's,
you know who would be really good is Brian.
Daniel Bryan. Daniel
as a Bryan. Heel, yeah, but not as a baby
no,
face.
As a baby face.
Going after Cena. Daniel Bryan going after Cena because...
No, Daniel Bryan's found a great heel character. They need to stick with that for
a while. But let's look at that, actually.
But it didn't work on in WrestleMania.
Well, that's because that was the story of the match, was that the heel got pinned right away. Mm-hmm. But trust me, he's a great heel character. You don't want to...
You're very much correct that he's a great character. He happens to play a heel right now. What do you think he would need to do? What difference do you think he would need to make to turn that heel character into a babyface character? What do you think he needs to do?
A lot.
A lot.
Yes.
Like what?
A lot.
The AJ stuff, sure.
The AJ stuff. Just
yes. Yes.
That doesn't work for a babyface. That works
yes,
for a heel.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It could. Yeah. I mean, fuck.
That's like that.
We watched 78 signs of
it. It doesn't matter. As a baby face, that's like R-Truth with Little Jimmy. becomes a comedy babyface then, and it's not to be taken seriously. It just doesn't work as a babyface. It's more like little Jimmy and him being crazy was more effective as a heel, and so is Daniel Bryan and his yes stuff.
What?
You know what? I think we're an hour and a half more in. I think I'm just about ready to
go. You are a more in, yeah. No, I think WrestleMania. Okay, let's just wrap it up really quick. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I think that Team Johnny will celebrate in the ring.
Yes. Okay. What do you think about Cena and Rock?
I think Rock comes out. I think Cena comes out and tries to shake his hand. I expect a handshake in the ring.
Do you think a handshake is like a Mega Powers handshake for a tag team match?
Not for a tag team match. I expect just a handshake.
Okay. What about...
I think Cena should actually be devastated by this and go off TV for about a month.
That would actually be nice.
I think that'd be good for his character.
Yeah.
And more sympathetic, and then you can see what the reaction is when he comes back.
That'd be Mickey My Wish Foundation.
There you go, see? Yeah.
But he has new shirts to sell.
That's why.
No, but I think that'd be the best for his character, is that he needs to reevaluate himself, and he's gone for a month.
What do you... Yeah, I want my country back. What about Lord?
You have to mention Brodus Clay was in there, and a bunch of, and they brought out.
Doesn't happen. Cena versus Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that's true.
They had Bret the Hitman Hart versus Vince.
You had Cena versus Eric Bischoff for like 2 years on Raw in the same storyline. The exact same storyline. They've been there, done that.
Yeah. Oh, so they would never try that again.
Good point. No, we got to mention that Brodus Clay came out and
Brodus
again,
Clay, somebody called him
and that they had somebody come out as his mama.
His mama.
Yeah, a young.
We
think
someone come out as his mom. That was his
wig,
mama
with some lady in a wig and a huge ass. And then the Crypt Club was it came out the
Bridge Club.
The Bridge Club. So a bunch of like 50
they played with Granny
with huge asses and big tits shaking their ass in dressed in old woman outfits and gray hair.
You had a problem with this? I don't understand.
No, I didn't have a problem with this. Song is great. Everything else was stupid.
Somebody call my mama.
I just thought we mentioned that he was out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
So, no, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do for tomorrow, but I don't really...
Lord Tenzai, do you think Albert will be there tomorrow?
Yeah, but who
will
lay out?
I expect Lord Tenzai to lay out Cena. I do.
Again, I would expect more Punk, because I don't think you can have Jericho and Punk again. Or, like
I
say, Sheamus.
I think he will have Jericho.
Sheamus
has
his thing, but Lord Tenzai, ideally to me, doesn't...
Cena doesn't
see,
have...
To me, ideally, Lord Tenzai, to me, doesn't come out and lay out on upper mid-card. Comes out and squashes a bunch of heels for a month, and then after Extreme Rules, either Sheamus or Punk, that's when he lays
out. I think it's a night after WrestleMania, and they want to have this impact, and I think Lord Tenzai is going to come out. And because Cena's the only one that doesn't have that carryover, because Rock ain't staying. So... I think Lord Tenzai
is
going
to... There's nothing left to do with Punk and Jericho either, though.
I understand, but I think they soon will.
Maybe.
I think they will. I think, but I think Tenzai comes out, beats the shit out of... And I don't mind that, beat the shit out of Cena, because it is somebody different and new. And hell, I don't watch New Japan or All Japan.
No, it's somebody different. It's somebody new, and you know what? It's the same old Cena,
but
though.
It's Albert, though.
It's the same old Cena. It's the same old Cena storyline.
I know.
Boring as hell.
But I'm more interested in Albert. I don't give a fuck about Cena. Cena's, you're right. It's the same old Cena, and that ain't going to do anything for me. But you're right.
Same old shit.
Hulk Hogan!
As the crowd chanted at him, same old shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his moves.
I'm more, as I said, when I talk about him coming and jumping, I'm more excited to see Albert and see what he's doing.
I'd like to see Albert against somebody I actually want to see him against.
Well, I mean, but...
Just to see what he's like.
But the thing is Cena's the top guy right now in the company.
Yes, but Cena needs to see whether or not you need to turn him. You need a storyline with Cena.
Hell.
So just him being jumped by somebody that I've seen a billion times is not a new storyline. So you need to take him off TV. You need to have him be contemplative about where he's going to go. You need to see what the crowd reaction is, whether or not it's time to turn him a heel. You need to see all this shit with him.
Then you get him jumped by Albert. What the fuck are you talking about?
Brutal.
If Lord Tenzai comes in tomorrow and jumps Cena,
I'll snooze.
Why?
Because I've seen, it's the exact same as Cena being jumped by a billion other guys. It's the exact same babyface Cena bullshit.
When was the last time I've seen it?
Or maybe Eve might jump.
There you go. Well,
when's the last time he was jumped by somebody? Yeah. Fucking Kane!
I don't want to fuck Kane. I mean, I think he's nice and somewhat attractive, but, you know, in a heterosexual kind of way, but... You know, I just never wanted to stick my dick in Glenn Jacobs.
Yeah, I honestly, God, we gotta wrap it up here.
Bees never wanted to stick his dick in Glenn Jacobs either, so we don't collectively know what you're talking about.
Really? I thought you two, you and B, I thought you two are the new brothers of destruction.
No,
in a different way.
No, no.
That's what my mom said.
No, no, no. B, Brian Blair, and I'm jumping Addie Brunzel here. He just told my mama.
I just fucked your mama.
Somebody fuck my mama. Somebody fuck my mama.
Somebody please call my mama.
Somebody fuck my mama. All right.
Okay.
I think it's time to end this show because Mo's obviously delirious like Hunter Thompson and doesn't understand about the show. You see, the kids today, they don't understand about the WrestleMania. Because the main event
will lead to
jumping him on the Raw.
All I'm saying with Cena is what you have here is a character who always wins and always overcomes the hit,
yes,
and this is what they said.
Overcomes
and now he's lost. And now you can have some character-building moments out of this instead of just having him jumped and thrown into another feud. So I just don't think you want to miss this opportunity.
But what are you going to, like... I kind of understand that to a certain degree, but it's the same time, it's like... I don't understand what are you...
I'd rather see Lord Tensei, like I say, squash people, build them up to people, and then, like I say, I'd rather see Sheamus or...
To me, though, Lord Tensai, if you're going to go that route, okay, and I don't...
I don't want to see Lord Tensai's first matches be a one-and-a-half, a one-quarter star match.
No.
Which will be with Cena.
Well, see, I don't mind that as much as I think that Lord Tensai, and I don't disagree that it has to be tomorrow. That's the part that it's like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't have to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, and because you can do that Cena and... Blah, 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 I'm a pussy and I'm a homo and all that shit, right? I'm just nothing more than a Make-A-Wish Foundation person.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's when Lord Tensai attacks. I think Lord Tensai, if you attack Cena, regardless of whether it's April 2nd or it's April 23rd...
Oh, I got a great match for Cena.
Do it.
George the Animal.
Yes.
He can make the Wish Foundation possible.
Mine! See?
Book it!
I got two words for you. Book it.
All right, we're going to get out of here.
No, but...
Oh, fuck.
I'm just saying, with Cena, you can have Lord Tensai, for him to be effective, his first attack needs to be on a main card guy. You're talking about him squishing heel or squishing baby faces along the way. I don't think it does the same thing as just all of a sudden coming in and going, boom, attacking John Cena and laying him out and being done. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Him beating Justin Gabriel and Zack Ryder doesn't do the same thing as him coming in and going, boom, Cena, fuck you.
I don't know. All I know is that's the way I used to see it from guys, that always worked, that a guy would come out, squash a bunch of baby faces, establish his moves, establish his character, establish his level, and then destroy somebody. That's how you got over everybody from King Kong Bundy to Earthquake to Great Khali, you know, or Umaga, you know, against Cena. So that's just the way.
Umaga.
That's just the way I'd like to see it.
No, and I don't. As I said, I don't disagree with you, but I don't disagree.
And I don't want to see it be Cena ideally. I'd like to see it, like I say, be Sheamus or CM Punk. More CM Punk just because he needs an opponent.
Well,
I don't want to see a guy throwing... Because the thing
you're
about
right.
Lord
CM Punk needs an opponent too, but my problem with that is...
The thing with Lord Tensai is he goes in there against Cena and he loses. Guess what? Then his character is already...
You're right.
His character already is less effective going forward.
You're very right.
He needs to beat a couple people before he loses to that guy.
Well, or he just beats him. But you're right. You're honestly...
He's not
going
to... No, I understand.
And you're very right there. The other thing, though, with Lord Tensai is that... And I guess this is kind of the state of the WWE universe, as it were. To me... The only person at this point capable of building a star is John Cena.
Well, okay.
I mean, you got Jericho, maybe, but honestly, like if you say like Lord Tenzai's got to go in and beat CM Punk, I'm going so. Really,
okay, you know what? And maybe you can say that after tonight with Orton. Which is curious.
Yeah.
Would have said it a little less.
You're damn right. No,
but
I would have said Orton
Sheamus
against...
Sheamus would be another example. He comes on Raw. What does he do? I can't remember. He beat up Jamie Noble, destroyed him, destroys the King, destroys a bunch of people, then faces Cena. That's how you do it.
Well, no, but I understand that. But it's like, to say that Lord Tenzai goes up against Sheamus, so, right? Lord Tenzai goes up against CM Punk.
But that's my reaction against Cena.
No, but Super Cena. Right? I mean, Cena lost to Rock.
Yeah.
Okay? That's like Rock losing to Hogan.
Yeah.
That's like anything
that
that's like Andre losing to Hogan. Right? Like, that's that same level. Right? That's understandable. Tenzai losing to Cena, Punk, Sheamus, all kind of the same level to me. Punk, Sheamus, same level. Cena, little higher. Right? It just is.
It doesn't matter. You don't do it right away with the guy.
But if you're trying to establish new people, like who's their heels? Who are their heels?
They have way more heels than babyface.
Of course they do.
This
who
is
are
part of
they?
The problem.
But who are they?
To everybody.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Who's their top heels?
Who is their top heel?
Give me their top heel.
Kane.
Okay.
Jericho.
Woohoo.
Brian.
Mm-hmm. Keep going. Wow.
Mark Henry.
Oh.
Mark Henry's who you put up against Cena, if anybody.
I have three, really, because I don't count Kane, because he bores the shit out of me.
Well, I'm talking, you asked me who's their top. Who's my top.
Okay, so I'm at four, because you're like, they have so many heels.
Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
Christian.
Okay. Six.
There's six.
Yeah, what?
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 Six beers.
What?
Six heels.
Okay, so now we're going to add Tenzai. And then and that's just going to fuck up who? Alberto Del Rio? Fuck that shit. Who cares? No, really, who gives
I'm
a fuck?
I'm not saying it. I never
well,
said
yes,
that.
Yes, you
asked
did.
Them.
You're
no,
like, yes,
that.
You're like, why
now
would
we have a bunch of heels?
You're like,
to
add
that, but
to all the
heels.
And I'm like, who gives
I'm not
a
saying come in as a baby face. I'm saying they need to turn some people.
Now, you're talking about, so to add to all the heels, like, there's this glut of awesome fucking heels.
But it's not awesome anything. Let me tell you something. Lord Tenzai against...
What?
Lord Tenzai
what?
against CM Punk, Sheamus, or, I don't know, who else? CM Punk, Sheamus, who else is up there?
Your mom.
Big Show. Whatever, that's the same level
same
as, that's the same level as him against, to me, against Cena. Like, I'm not excited by Cena. I don't want to see him against Cena. I don't think that it does anything for me. Or if you turn Alberto Del Rio babyface and Lord Tenzai against him, doesn't do anything for me either.
But
like,
I just think, to me, Tenzai and Cena.
I don't.
That's new. That is new.
Sure, but Tenzai against anybody is new because they'll be there for 8 fucking years.
I understand that, but I at least like the fact that you're taking a guy and you're
another thing is if you do that with Cena, then you don't have that next new guy for him.
No, but you're shooting Tenzai up straight to the top,
and then he loses, and then he's back down.
Yeah, but it's fine, but. You're doing something, and maybe not. Like, you don't... I understand what you're saying.
John Cena's not losing 2 pay-per-views in a row. John Cena needs to go away for a while.
Well, no,
John Cena needs a storyline coming out of this.
About him.
He doesn't need an attack. He needs a storyline.
Yeah, but the Attack can be the storyline.
No, it can't. It needs to be related to the Raw.
No, it can't. No, really?
No, it can't. It needs to be related to the Raw.
Sorry, did anybody... Do you remember watching... Do you remember the show there, B? And I'm just going to ask B here. Do you remember a show that was called the Brother Love Show? Just answer yes or no. Do you remember the Brother Love... Yes, you remember the Brother Love Show.
I love you.
Yeah, he had a heart attack, actually.
Yeah.
Do you remember...
love in his heart. Heart attack.
Yes. Do you remember, what is his name?
Earthquake.
Yes, Earthquake. Thank you for going where you're going.
Okay.
With that.
What about Earthquake?
Who did he squish?
Hulk Hogan.
Uh-huh. What's your
he
point?
He was coming after him.
After he squished a bunch of other people, yes. He built up the character. He's built up for about 6 months. Then he faced Hulk Hogan. Yeah, that's right.
What?
And then Typhoon came in.
No, but he did what now?
He squished a bunch of guys leading up to beating. He didn't come in and immediately face Hulk Hogan.
When did he beat him, though? When did he beat him?
What?
When did he beat Hulk Hogan?
When did he beat Hulk Hogan?
When did Earthquake beat Hulk Hogan?
He didn't. He lost and then became a tag team champion. And guess what? His character was done.
When did he lose to Hulk Hogan?
About six months later.
When did he squish Hulk Hogan?
And when was he a draw?
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking
when was he at his highest drawing power before he
did
Hulk Hogan?
Did I ever say... That Albert was going to be a draw. All I'm talking about is stopgap. No, but all I'm talking about is stopgap bullshit, you fuck. Is I'm saying that if you're going to fight John Cena, then you come
I'm
in.
I'm saying you aren't.
No, I'm saying if Tenzai comes in, okay, jump Cena.
I'm saying if Tenzai wants to be John Cena's opponent at SummerSlam, that's fine. But I'm saying Tenzai coming in and jumping Cena tomorrow night is not what I would do. Not what I want.
What do you want?
What do I want? I want Tenzai to squash some people and be built up.
Okay, then who do you want John Cena to fight?
I want John Cena to have a storyline come into this and ideally go away for about a month.
Against who?
And then, if he's gone for a month,
okay,
he's not against anybody.
Okay, fine. I just want him to leave him over a month and then come back next
I want him to leave him over a month. I want him to... I want him to... Yeah. We're drinking a lot. I'm getting fucking tired. Shut the fuck up. Very... What I'm trying to say...
Was a cunt, huh?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Okay,
anyway,
I'm trying
so,
to say,
so,
yeah,
so,
yeah, he's gone for a month.
Okay, so A-Train comes back in
so
a month.
Shut the fuck up. If you're going to ask me, let me actually answer the question. I say, take him off TV for a month, out of the arenas. I say what you do is...
Okay, go ahead.
Give me that.
Fuck it.
Give me that. Give me your fucking mic. what I'm saying is, you take him off TV for a month. I say you have him be at home. I say you show him with the wife. I say you show him not working out, saying, I don't know where I go from here. And after a month, when he comes back, and he's like, I'm going to rededicate myself. That's when you have Tenzai squash him. He's fucking stripping. Are you a gay? Are you very happy or what?
I'm sorry, what?
Huh?
What?
I don't know what you're saying.
So, Mo wants to have Lord Tenzai come in tomorrow on Raw and beat John. Is that what I'm hearing? John
no! All right, so we're going to have some the contest you guys entered for the WrestleMania pool. Thanks to all the entries.
No, thank you.
I will go through the entries, and we'll have the winner next week on the next show.
Yeah, Mo's going to calculate everything. We'll do well. We're going to have the winner, let's say, next week.
Yeah.
Next Sunday.
I'm going to have it for you next week.
To be quite honest, we're going to do this WrestleMania show. We've already actually pre-taped an April Fool's show, and, of course, today... April Fool's Day, as you can hear from Mo's commentary, April Fool's Day is today. So we're actually going to do maybe on Thursday, plunk down that on the website here. We'll plug down that that April Fool's show. So it'll be a week from today. So it might not be the next show because we might throw that in there.
Yeah.
But two shows from now, next week, we will definitely announce the winner of the WrestleMania Prediction Contest. The irresistible force meaning the immovable object,
yes.
as it were. But enough about Mo's mom.
Yeah.
We will just go.
And enough about my penis.
And enough of
force.
Yes. What? Homo? What? Oh. Anyway. Should we just end it now?
Yeah, fuck you, Addy.
About 20 minutes ago, probably.
But, O-U-T.
Okay. So, I think that's going to be it for tonight. Mo, if you're not gay, could you say something else? No?
Fuck
gay?
You!
Took his headset off, but I tried. Anyway, so in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Before I do that, I'm sorry, it's at We Talk Wrestling at Twitter, mo@wetalkpodcast.com is his email. Addy@wetalkwrestling is my email. And the man they call B, adamlinnell@telus.net, that's going to get him, but you can just chat with him on the Podomatic site there. The man they call B, always prevalent, always hitting us with some good information, whether it be, you know, racial or not. We try to talk to him about that shit. But anyway, in the meantime, and in between time, wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com. That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.